Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive. With Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Van Studios, here's CDOT.
Rob, when are you going to change the open? Are you going to give me a daily reminder that we continue to be second best? I immediately demand a refresh of the open. We should have come in number one in Pitch magazine. We came in second place because you wasn't on your J-O-B. I don't want to be constantly reminded that we were second best, that we were the Jim Kelly of the Pitch magazine best sports talk host poll that they had. Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be the runner-up here today with you guys. Rob Brenton is here. We're taking you up until 6 o'clock. We got a lot to get into in today's show. You know what? Because it's the bye week, today's show is going to have a little bit of a different theme. It feels like baseball has kind of been the topic in Kansas City. Listening to the midday show, doing some reading, getting ready for the show, it seems like there's a lot of baseball talk in the air. I don't know if you guys saw the official numbers, but if you add the United States, Canada, and also Japan, 51 million people watch Game 7 of the World Series. So baseball is certainly still top of mind for a lot of people. We'll start with that coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. If you're looking for a place to grab a bite to eat, grab something to drink, and also watch some of your favorite games, and the best place to do that is with our friends over at The Other Place. So let's start with a little bit of baseball. Let's start with J.J. Piccolo, who was on the midday show earlier today. It is widely known in baseball circles what the Chiefs are, what the Royals are trying to acquire this offseason. The Royals need a corner impact bat. Left field, right field, I don't care, but the Royals need an impact bat. Here is J.J. Piccolo.
Well, I think looking at the market right now, it doesn't seem like it's very deep with the number of outfielders that are really impactful. So if we want to try to go get a really impactful bat, you know, I think our mindset is probably a little bit more on trade right now. If we end up going with some sort of platoon system in one of those spots, it could be through free agency, but we need to stay open to any and all ideas. And, you know, it'll take shape here. The GM meetings are next week, so I think things will start taking shape more so after next week. But preliminary discussions have already been had with teams. So teams know what our needs are. We know what their needs are, and you just formulate how you want to go about it, and hopefully things pick up a little bit next week.
This is in line with what I thought the discussion was basically the entire season. If you take a look at the free agent market, there isn't really going to be a surplus of big-time free agent bats. Now, the Royals could possibly go get Alex Bregman. He plays third base. We'll talk more about that coming up in a bit because it seems like Alex Bregman has been linked to the Royals in various ways. But if the Royals are going to go find this impact bat that we all believe they are looking for, the most likely way that you are going to acquire that player is via trade. Well, what do the Royals have to trade? Here is J.J. Piccolo trying to answer that question.
Yeah, I think that can be said for any area that you are deep, you know. So right now, our major league starting pitching depth is tremendous. You know, we expect to be hit on our starting pitching this offseason. We have, you know, gone through teams asking about our catching in the minor leagues already, and that will continue, I think, with the guys that are behind Carter. So we'll be open-minded to it. You know, the toughest part about trades is whoever may have interest in whatever catcher we have or starting pitcher we have, they need to have the player that we want in return.
Yeah, sure.
So that pool gets somewhat dumbed down pretty quickly. You know, it gets a little bit thinner, so there's certain teams you can target and have those discussions. And in the end, it's ultimately, you know, who do they value the most? Who do we value the most? But we certainly expect catching to be something the teams will ask about, and starting pitching, major league ready starting pitching, to be another thing that other teams covet.
So that was JJ Piccolo, who was on Cody and Gold on the midday show earlier today. I think we all know what the challenge is going to be for the Royals this offseason. The Royals need an infusion of offense to their lineup. How do the Royals go about finding that person? It doesn't sound like, based on what we just heard from JJ Piccolo, that they believe that player is in free agency, at least not in the outfield. Now, Alex Bregman could possibly be a solution to their problems, but again, he plays third base. You'd have to kind of move some things around. Now, it would give you a very, very dynamic infield if that's the direction that you want to go, but let's see how the offseason plays itself out. I also think that we have known this about the Royals from the very, very beginning. If the Royals are going to go add that impact bat, they are more than likely going to have to give up something that they really, really like. They did that last offseason with Brady Singer, where they traded Brady Singer and they got back Jonathan India. They are more than likely going to have to do that again. You have a tremendous currency when it comes to your starting pitching. You have a surplus. You have really accumulated depth. Now, that is a great thing to have because, you know, arms are fragile and players break down throughout the course of the season. So you want to be 7-8 deep when it comes to starting pitching. And the Royals did a good job last year that when they faced some injuries, they had somebody ready to plug in. We were not spending a lot of time a year ago talking about Noah Cameron, and now he is very much inside your plans. But if the Royals are going to find this impact bat, I don't really see it any other way. I think they're going to have to trade one of their starting pitchers. I think they're going to have to put pitchers into two groups. Who are some guys who are can't trade? You would have to absolutely knock our socks off with an offer for us to consider trading him. And you put those pitchers off to the left. And if you don't fit in that category, then I think you got to be up for grabs. I think the Royals can't get emotional about this, and you got to realize where you are as an organization. And if there isn't a player that you think is worthy of spending the money for, then you're going to have to spend another form of currency, which is some of your starting pitching, to go get what you want. I think this trade is going to happen because I don't really think the Royals have a choice. If you are serious about improving your lineup, being more well-rounded, and giving yourself a chance next year to win your division and or make the postseason, I think this is a trade that ultimately you are going to have to make. Rob, what do you make of what we just heard from JJ Piccolo, the general manager for the Royals?
I think it's in line with what we kind of knew about the Royals' upcoming offseason. It's a really big offseason for the team. Like, we talked a lot during the summer about how the Royals faced a regression from 2024 to 2025. You cannot regress again, or you will fall out of sight, out of mind. Like, the Royals were in the playoffs, baseball was back in Kansas City, and it was a fun summer. And then the ensuing year, regression offensively, and now a lot of the same doom and gloom from fans has returned. You got to get back to the postseason to keep buying yourself more and more goodwill. And I think everyone knows the path. Jim Bowden knows the path. John Heyman knows the path. You know the path. I know the path. Joe Listener knows the path. You have to add offense. Where me and you disagree a little bit, I think there is a way for the Royals to add offense without having to give up their starting pitching surplus. Now, that comes from, and I'm reading a quote here from John Heyman, whose article mentioned the Royals could be potential suitors for Alex Bregman. He mentioned in the article that the Royals have become a decent spender for small market clubs and could seek extra offense and could be one of the teams in on Alex Bregman. If you are the Royals, and John Heyman is very plugged in with the Royals, and the Royals go get Alex Bregman and then trade one of their prospect catchers for an outfielder, there's a world where you can go into next year and still have a surplus of major league starting pitchers and your offense is better. And in that world, we're talking about you being a division title type of team. We're talking about you being a AL type contender for the ALCS type of team. Like, I think right now, if what John Heyman said in his most recent article about the offseason, that the Royals are considered a decent spender considering they're a small market club, and the Royals go flex a little bit of that spending, there's a world where they can be last year's Tigers. They can be a team where you go, oh, they spent a little more than you anticipated. That happens all the time in baseball. Why can't it be Kansas City? If they don't take that path, you're right. A Bubich, a Cameron, a someone's got to go. I'm not 100% sold that's their only path, though.
I also think it's important to note, though, with Alex Bregman, that Alex Bregman had a chance to continue what was a three-year, $120 million deal, and he opted out of the contract. So if you're Alex Bregman, like most people, you're not anticipating making less money next year than you just did this past season. You had the choice to make. You had the chance to make $40 million a year playing for the Boston Red Sox. You decided to opt out of that deal. You were opting out of that deal because you were either looking for more money or more security. So it goes without saying, it's the nature of free agency. You're going to have to overpay for Alex Bregman. Now, you also understand that going into free agency, and if you want truly one of those impact bats, it's going to cost you a little bit. You got to pay in one of two ways. So you can either pay financially, you can pay in payroll, or you can package up something and try to go get you a bat via a trade, and one that maybe fits your financial structure a little bit better, but you had to pay a very different price. Let's see how the Royals decide to play this thing this winter, but the Royals cannot leave this offseason without having a confirmed offensive solution, not a possibility, not, well, we got Jack Caglione. No, they need somebody who has a proven track record in Major League Baseball, somebody that you can look at the back of their baseball card, as Vern says, somebody that you can go on Pro Baseball Reference. I see what you have accomplished, and we feel like we can put you in the 3, 4, or 5 every single day in their lineup. If they don't leave that with that this offseason, it is impossible for them to get a passing grade. They might not get an F, but it is impossible for them to get a C or better if they don't make a significant investment in trying to improve their offense. We're going to bounce back and forth between baseball and football for a majority of the day. Coming up on the other side, we're going to take a trip to some of the big stops in the NFL trade deadline as the show progresses. We're going to start in New York with the New York Jets. Why didn't the Jets trade Breece Hall? Why did they trade Sauce Gardner? Why did they trade Quinnen Williams? We'll find out together. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to take a trip around the National Football League and catch up with the teams that define the 2025 trade deadline in the National Football League. Let's take our first trip of the day to New York City to be joined by Jake Asman. He is with ESPN 880 covering the Jets. Jake, how you doing today, my man?
What's up, Carrington? Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. Let's start with this. What have the last 24 hours been like? I think we knew that the Jets were going to be major players. I didn't know they were trading Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, I think everyone was shocked about that. I think the reaction to the Quinnen Williams trade, we were more shocked at just the return for a guy who's not having a great year and seemingly didn't want to be with the Jets anymore. And I don't think anyone can blame him with the amount of losing he's experienced. But Sauce seemingly came out of nowhere just because there were no rumblings of this. He had wanted to be a Jet. They just gave him a huge extension before training camp this year. So certainly crazy. And the fact that, you know, they made these moves and now all of a sudden you still got 9 games to go and the team's at 1-7. There's just so many just immediate impacts of these deals. And then the big picture with all the picks, you know, that obviously will define the Aaron Glenn, Darren Mooji tenure now as they're trying to rebuild this thing.
I want to get to the trades here coming up momentarily, but I got 2 things before we get there. Number one, are you surprised that the Jets are this bad? I didn't think they were going to be good this year. I also didn't think they could quite possibly be the worst team in the league. Are you surprised they're this bad?
Very surprised. And I think anyone, the Jets' new spin is, you know, they're trying to, you know, build it their way. But that's not what they said. That's not what Aaron Glenn said when he took over. You know, he said this is not a rebuild. You know, Quinnen Williams actually, he tweeted after the Jets released Aaron Rodgers. He said, I guess I'm headed for another rebuild. And Aaron Glenn was asked about that at the Combine. And he said, I spoke with Q. I told him this is not a rebuild. We're here to win now. And we're looking forward to it. That was his exact quote. And today, Aaron Glenn, being asked about trading away 2 franchise cornerstones, said, hey, you said you wanted to win now. You said before the regular season started, your goal is to have a team Jet fans are proud of. And Glenn's latest response today to that was, well, I never said when they were going to be proud. Exactly. So, you know, this season's been an unmitigated disaster. The record's the record, but how they've looked, how non-competitive they've been in a lot of these games, it's been a major surprise because there is talent on this team. The reason they were able to get what they got for both Sauce and Quinnen, and why teams were interested in Breece Hall, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, Quincy Williams, who they ended up not trading, is because there is legitimate talent on this team, but they've been so horribly coached that it's led to, you know, this 1-7 record. And then obviously the quarterback situation, Justin Fields, outside of really just 2 games, has been one of the worst starters in the league this year.
What percentage chance would you put it at that Aaron Glenn is not the head coach next year? We have certainly seen coaches only get 1 year, unable to turn things around. That just happened with the team in your division, with the New England Patriots. Are you certain that Aaron Glenn's going to be back next year? What percentage would you put it that the Jets just go in another direction again?
I think it's at least 90% after yesterday. You know, I'm someone who was certainly advocating for Glenn to be 1-done if they did finish with the worst record in the sport because of some of this talent we talked about and how they've completely changed the expectations that they set originally about being competitive and how it's not a rebuild. And now, though, after what they did yesterday, I just don't think you give the head coach and the general manager the opportunity to make these trades yesterday if you're not sold on their vision to rebuild the team now, right? To obviously draft a quarterback very high in the offseason. So, you know, I would have told you before these deals, hey, there is a chance if it continues to look ugly, they finish with 1 or 2 wins, you have the top pick, maybe you do make Aaron Glenn a coach who's fired after a year and you get a real offensive coach for your young quarterback you're going to pick. But after yesterday, I think the chance of that happening is basically none. I think they could finish 1-16 now, Carrington, and Aaron Glenn's going to be back. Because here's the thing with the Jets' power structure, right? Glenn is the head decision maker. While Darren Mooji's the GM, who's the one actually on the phone with teams negotiating these trades, there's not a move that gets made that Aaron Glenn is not signing off on. He is the ultimate personnel decider. He's the head coach. He's got more power than any coach the Jets have hired since Bill Parcells back in 1997. And whether or not that's smart, I mean, to be determined. So far, certainly not. But Woody Johnson loves the guy, and he doesn't want to fire him. And I think after yesterday, he's fully on board with this new plan the Jets have of getting these picks and rebuilding it.
Right now, we're talking to Jake Asman. He is with ESPN 880 in New York. We're going to take closer looks at teams that define the trade deadline this week in the National Football League. So let's get to the players. Let's get to Sauce Gardner. I think he's one of the 5 best corners in the league. I'm not sure if he's the same corner that he was a couple of years ago when I think he was arguably the best corner in the National Football League. I also just think that this is an offer that you can't pass up. If you get 2 first-round picks, you also get A.D. Mitchell, who I think could be a decent receiver in the National Football League, and you're also a team that's not going anywhere and needs a quarterback, I don't think you can afford to pass up on this trade offer if it's put before you. So I think it's a good move by the Jets to trade Sauce Gardner to the Colts.
I agree with you. And look, Sauce is someone that, you know, I no fault of his own, you know, he became expendable because of the offer, because of the fact they didn't win anything with him. It wasn't because of him. While he might not be, you know, the first team all pro he was his first and second year, he's still having another really good season for the Jets. He probably would be a second team all pro right now if the voters had to decide on it. So he's a really good player. But when you don't have a quarterback and you're sitting there at 1-7 and you get an opportunity to get two first round picks for a non QB, you have to do it, because the reality is this. You know, Sauce Gardner is really good, but he's been really good the last couple of years, and the most wins the Jets have experienced during his time with the team has been 7 wins in 2022 and 2023. So it's a shame, because he was a great teammate. He was great with the fans. He was great in the community here. He was probably the most popular player on the team besides Garrett Wilson. But ultimately, I think the return was just too good to pass up, so I understand why the Jets did what they did.
Jake, did something go wrong in New York? Because you very rarely see a team make the financial commitment that the Jets just made 3-4 months ago for Sauce Gardner, and now they're just happy to let him walk away. Did something happen behind the scenes that we don't know about?
I think what happened here was, if you look at the way Sauce Gardner's contract was structured, the Jets, to their credit, their capologist actually made it possible for them to do something like this. The way they structured Sauce's bonuses in his contract, the first-year bonus, relatively small, meaning the dead cap charges that the Jets incur, there's nothing significant until 2027 and 2028. So they had the opportunity to do something like this. Darren Mooji, when he spoke with reporters yesterday, referenced how the contract was structured in case they wanted to get out of it. I don't think they intended to get out of it. I just think they put that in there just in case. I think the reason the Jets were able to get some of these things in Sauce's deal, it was very important to Sauce that he'd be the highest paid corner in the league, that he would surpass Derek Stingley Jr., who was at $30 million. So if you look at Sauce's AAV, it's $30.1 million. So I think part of the compromise was how they structured this contract to have the flexibility to do something like what they did yesterday. I don't think it was part of the plan, but at 1-7 and you're getting two first-round picks, I think at that point Sauce became expendable, because they recognized without a quarterback, this team's not going to go anywhere anyway.
Right now, we're talking to Jake Asman for a few more minutes here, just getting his take on what the Jets did at the NFL trade deadline. Let's talk about the move that sent Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys. I did think we knew that Quinnen Williams could be had. A little bit surprised at the Cowboys. They didn't want Micah Parsons, but now they're willing to trade a first-round pick and take on the contract with Quinnen Williams. The Cowboys, they very rarely make sense.
It was shocking to me that they gave up what they did. I'm not shocked Quinnen was traded, because, look, he's been here 7 years. He's been through Adam Gase and Robert Saleh and Jeff Oberg, and now Aaron Glenn telling him it's not a rebuild. Well, they're 1-7, and now guess what? They're rebuilding. So, you know, Quinnen Williams was an awesome player, but unfortunately, similar to Sauce, he's never going to get to experience really what winning in New York could be like, because the Jets have been so bad during his time. The fact that they were able to get a second and a first, to me, was stunning. You look at recent defensive tackle trades, usually you don't get a first, especially for a guy who's not known for sacking the quarterback, right? Like Quinnen Williams has not had a great year rushing the passer. He's still elite against the run, but the first-team all-pro version of himself we have not seen in a few years now. He's still under contract, but only $5 million in guarantees left, so he's going to want to rework it. And I just don't think the Jets were going to be able to rework that deal for the long haul for him. So I thought that this was something that if it didn't happen at the deadline, it would be something that would play out in the offseason. But the fact that the Cowboys at 3-5-1 were this aggressive, it stunned us here in New York, because we were not expecting the Jets to be able to get what they got for Quinnen. So that to me was probably the best value of any of the trades that happened in the NFL, because once again, Quinnen Williams is a really good player, but he's not a game changer. He's not a game wrecker. He hasn't been that in a few years. So to get a first and a second, it was stunning to, I think, a lot of Jet fans.
Which player are you more surprised is still on the Jets? Is it Jermaine Johnson or Breece Hall?
I'm more surprised that it's Breece Hall, because he's going into the last year of his deal. I know the Jets have said they want to keep him, but you know, Breece is a guy who you could tell the losing has really impacted him. He's been frustrated with the way things have played out. Whereas Jermaine is under contract for one more year on the fifth-year option. He has openly talked about how badly he wants to turn things around here. He even sent out a long message yesterday. So, you know, the Jets could have traded Jermaine Johnson and got a second-round pick. They said they wanted more if they were going to do it. And ultimately, I think it was the right move to not trade, a premium pass rusher who's still getting better coming off his Achilles injury from last year. With Breece, to me, if you're not going to trade him, you now almost have to extend him. You have to keep him, whether you use the transition tag on him in the offseason or you work out an extension. If you're not going to trade him, you have to extend him, because if you just let him now walk for nothing, I mean, the comp pick you're going to get in 2027 in all likelihood is not going to be greater than like a sixth rounder. So, you know, the fact that they apparently had a fourth on the table from at least one, if not more teams, and they didn't do it, no one was willing to meet their asking price of a third, it surprised me, just because now there's a lot of uncertainty whether or not he's even going to be here next year. And if you're going to lose it for nothing, I think that's a poor decision.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you surprised that the Jets were so steadfast on getting a third-round pick, to use a ticket analogy? You know, we've all tried to sell tickets, and let's say you want to get 75 apiece, but the best offer is 60 bucks. I mean, it's better to sell the tickets for 60 bucks than to eat the tickets and then not go to the show. So your point, what you just made about Breece Hall, at this point, he has to be on the team next year to justify that you tried to kind of strong-arm everybody and tried to get a third-round pick.
Yep, completely agree. And I hope that they do, you know, look at this as an opportunity to now keep him, because, you know, regardless which quarterback the Jets are going to take next year, any rookie quarterback can benefit from having a very good running back. Is Breece Hall maybe the guy we once upon a time thought could be the best in the league after he was having this unbelievable rookie year before he tore his ACL? No, but he's still a damn good player, and we saw that in the Jets win over the Bengals, where he was, you know, throwing a game-winning touchdown among running for a touchdown in that game and being the Jets' best offensive weapon. So he's a good football player, and he's someone that I think Aaron Glenn personally really likes. It's just a matter of, does one, he want to be here, and two, you know, if he does want to be here, can you get a deal done with him? Because using the franchise tag on him, it's a lot of money for a running back who's good but not great. So it's a fascinating situation. But to your point, I almost feel like you have to now, you know, get him on the team for next year if you chose not to trade him for whatever you could have got for him at the deadline yesterday.
That is our guy, Jake Asman, joining us on the show today. He is with ESPN 880 in New York. The Jets, by far and away, they were the busiest team at the deadline. They traded Sauce Gardner. They traded Quinnen Williams. They did not trade Jermaine Johnson and Breece Hall. Jake, I look forward to talking to you in a couple months when we figure out who the Jets are going to take at quarterback with the number one overall pick.
Oh, you know where this goes, man. You guys at Kansas City, you guys get to actually experience winning and winning Super Bowls. We win the offseason every year, so it must be nice. I'm very jealous.
Well, you know what? Go Knicks, man. We appreciate you, Jake. Thanks for popping on today, my man.
Let me say this. Thank God for the Knicks. Appreciate you, character.
Absolutely. That's Jake Asman joining us on the show today. He is with ESPN 880 in New York City. Happy to get his thoughts on everything that happened. Rob, are you surprised that the Jets played it the way that they played it with Breece Hall? I mean, they could have traded him yesterday. There is no question that multiple teams made an offer. We believe that Kansas City was one of those teams that went out there and made an offer. We got this yesterday from Connor Hughes. He covers the Jets for SNY.
With Breece Hall, there was an offer on the table for a fourth-round pick from Breece Hall. I was told that it was from the Kansas City Chiefs that were willing to trade for Breece Hall. The Jets were steadfast in wanting a 30. So they wanted a third-round pick for Breece Hall. They were not able to get one, only had a fourth-round offer.
So that is Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets. So the Jets wanted a third. The Chiefs reportedly were only willing to offer a fourth-round pick. I mean, that's a significant difference. I mean, if you're looking at it, so the Chiefs last year, they got Jalen Royals at the back half of the fourth round. That was the 133rd pick. If you're now looking at what a third-round pick looks like for Breece Hall, then that starts around, ends around 96. There's some compensatory picks. So we're talking about a pretty big difference between the back half of the fourth round and the back half of the third round. If you're trading him for a third round pick, that looks like a top 100 pick. If you're trading him at the back half of the fourth round, we're now talking about a top 130 pick. Obviously, very different kind of prospect that you can get. So I understand the Jets holding on to what they think the value is. But if you're not going to sign him this offseason, he did all of this for nothing. You are not getting a fourth round compensatory pick for Breece Hall. You might get a fifth or a sixth round pick for him, but you got to factor in other moves that you plan on making. You lose this guy, you sign this guy in free agency. I don't think you're getting better than that if you are the Jets. Now, maybe that's their plan. We're going to go get a quarterback this offseason. We want to pair him with a 24-year-old running back that is super capable. We've already paid Garrett Wilson, so we feel like we've got our offense put together. Maybe that's the plan for the Jets. But if you let Breece Hall walk in free agency, the overwhelming sentiment around the league is you should have taken the fourth-round pick to Kansas City, San Francisco, whomever, whichever team offers you that deal.
I am surprised the Jets were as steadfast as they were. Not just with the Chiefs, but anyone. Like, we talk about all the time, deadlines make deals. Well, not just the trade deadline. The Jets are on a deadline with Breece Hall. He's a free agent. So I would have been a proponent, if I'm a Jets fan, of take anything, take something, because you just heard from Jake Asman, he's probably going to get a sixth, maybe a seventh, at best a fifth round pick back and a comp pick in 2027. I mean, that's all fine and dandy. I love draft picks, but you take the fourth rounder in 2026 as opposed, because it's a known commodity. So I do now think the Jets are at least way more open to keeping Breece Hall, not on some lucrative, can you believe they signed that guy for that money deal, but on something that keeps Breece Hall in town for a while, because there's no other reason to not trade him unless the new power structure of New York views him as part of the solution, which makes sense. He's 25. He's been productive before his injury and still been a solid running back in the league. But if the Jets don't re-sign him, that's a massive miss by the Jets, but the Jets are known for massive misses.
100%. I want to play one more thing on this and then we'll move on. Here is Jordan Schultz with Bleacher Report. Here's what he had to say on why he believes the Jets didn't trade Breece Hall yesterday.
Another huge name that could have been dealt was Breece Hall. Now, he was not dealt because the Jets did not get the draft capital they were seeking. I think a third round pick would have got it done. Hopefully you saw my report about an hour or so before the deadline that Breece Hall, quote, wants to be out. I think he clearly saw the writing on the wall with not only Quinnen and Sauce traded, but Michael Carter traded earlier. This is a Jets team that is clearly in rebuilding mode. Breece Hall is averaging 5 yards per carry. He will be a free agent after the season.
Was there a dog barking in the back? Did you hear what I heard?
It's like a graphic where it keeps flashing.
Okay.
It's a video.
But it sounded like it was a dog.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
It sounded like he was working from remote and his dog was going crazy in the back. That's what it sounded like to me. It was hard to focus. I just kept hearing this sound in the back. I don't even know what was going on. I was so distracted by the sound in the back. It doesn't matter now at this point. The Jets didn't trade Breece Hall. The trade deadline is closed and everybody has to go their own separate ways. And you got to improve your roster elsewhere. You know what? Speaking of dogs, Rob, let's talk about this Tom Brady topic, because you are a pet owner. I imagine a lot of you listening are also pet owners. So if you don't know, Tom Brady cloned his dog. It cost around $50,000. Now, I don't know all the particulars about it, but we do know that he cloned his dog. Rob has been telling me all day how weird this is that he did this. I'm not saying it's not weird, but I think this is very, very important to note. The average person doesn't have the money to clone their dog. I think a lot of people, if they just had $50,000 in loose pocket change, the way that Tom Brady makes that $50,000 by the first media timeout of his Fox job. That $50,000 is nothing to Tom Brady. I don't care about this. I love little Sophie. Sophie has been such an important member in our family, and we got an opportunity to keep Sophie alive. How much? $50,000? I sneeze at $50,000. He's probably paid for dinners that cost $50,000. I do think, Rob, in this commentary about Tom Brady, him cloning his little Fifi, his little dog, I don't think we're factoring in, A, the price that it costs to do this, and if the average person had access to this amount of money for this service, I think way more pet owners would do this than you are giving credit if they had a chance to keep their loving pet alive through cloning them.
You're probably right. More people would do this than I think if it was cheap. But it's weird by anyone. It is very odd behavior. And I am saying that as someone who is a very happy pet owner. I love my pet right now. He's 5 years old. I hope my dog lives way, way long time. But when inevitably his time comes, because that's what happens to living things on Earth, I'm not going to think to myself, man, I wish I would have cloned him. That's weirdo behavior. I don't care if it costs $5, $15, $500, or $500 million. Cloning your dog is odd. Just accept that this is one of the things of life. Like, people and dogs and cats and whatever, they pass, and then you grieve, you mourn, and then you continue about your life. Cloning it is just sicko, weirdo, gross behavior by Tom Brady. And I don't care if it would be the norm if it's cheaper. It's weird.
I hear what you're saying. I think a lot more people would clone their dog if it was financially feasible. But I get that everybody just doesn't have 50 G's laying around. So when your dog is about to die and it's at the end of its life, you just don't have the ability to prolong
your dog. Just get another dog.
He got one. He paid $50,000 for another dog.
I'm not
dog.
Talking about
He a got clone. The highest end designer dog.
I'm not talking about a clone of your dog. Go get another dog. You grieve, you mourn. I'm so sad. My 15-year-old, you know, Labrador passed. Aw. Then you go buy a puppy and you restart the clock and you find, you know, new moments and new experiences with this new puppy. Oh, I'm so sad we
Certainly
lost
cheaper.
Sally, but now I bought, you know, Sophie. I have two great dogs in my life. Not, I just kept cloning the same dog over and over. In 15 years, if this dog is on its last legs, you're going to clone it again? That, it's just weird. Tom Brady's weird.
Coming up on the other side, the college football, the rankings that actually matter are out in college football. Rob says we can't talk about that because we're headed to another city. We're heading to Dallas, you told me. Dallas, Texas. We're going to find out about the Cowboys. They trade Micah Parsons. Then they trade for Quinnen Williams. Then they trade for a linebacker that can't even play in the Bengals defense. What is happening with the Cowboys? We'll find out together. Keep it right here. It's
The Drive. The
Drive
with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit of breaking news. Fox has hired Drew Brees Drew Brees to replace Mark Sanchez. You know, Mark Sanchez has gotten a little bit of legal trouble. They have hired Drew Brees in the interim to take his place. Something tells me that Mark Sanchez will not be back working at Fox. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by RJ Choppy. He covers the Dallas Cowboys. He is with 105.3 The Fan out in Big D. RJ, how you doing today, my man?
What's up, man? How we doing?
Doing fantastic. Let's start with this. What was the sentiment this morning on you guys' radio show when you opened up the phone lines and you heard from Cowboys fans? What was the sentiment about this move?
Well, I think the main sentiment was, and it's pretty clear, that they are a better football team today. Like, I think that's pretty obvious. Regardless of whether you like the trade, you don't like the trade, they're a better football team. There were a lot of people that were like, okay, this is good. I wanted them to do something. I wanted them to do anything. They're better today. That's good. But let's not give up on the season. There were a fair amount that were like, they gave up too much. You know, let's just stay the course, keep the draft picks. But everybody pretty much was like, okay, objectively, this is a good football player. Objectively, the team is better today. That's the sentiment.
If you could go back, do you think that fans would just undo the Micah Parsons trade and then not have this trade? It feels like in some ways they chose Quinnen Williams over Micah Parsons. I understand they got more compensation, so they still have some of what they got back for Micah Parsons, but they basically cut that in half to go get Quinnen Williams.
I think this is essentially what it is. And, I think the fans would rather have Micah. I think the Cowboys actually might rather have Quinnen. I don't know that the Cowboys called the Jets about Quinnen in the offseason, maybe moving Micah up there. I don't know. Maybe they did. But, I think most Cowboy fans, the way they presented it to us, would be like, all right, look, we would rather have Micah. Micah's a better player. If we can go back, we would just undo this whole thing. If you're going to give up a one and a two for Quinnen Williams, fine, but do it while Micah's here.
What's the frustration level right now with the defense? Because it is not ironic to me that the Cowboys trade their best defensive player. They have put together one of the worst defenses they've had in recent memory, and you're also looking at the defense right now for the Packers, and they might have the best defensive player in the league, certainly one of the favorites to win defensive player of the year.
Oh, dude, the defense is awful, and the Cowboys know it. The Cowboys' goal right now, they look at the offense and they're like, all right, this is an elite offense. So let's just try to get this defense to the 15th best defense in the league. I don't think you can do that. I don't think Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson bring you from 30th to 15th. Maybe if they had gotten Sauce Gardner too, that could have done well. But short of that, it's not going to happen. This is a move, I think for next year and the year after. They're looking at the next couple of years with Dak Prescott. So that'll put him, beyond the age of 35, I think. And that'll be the end of the contract for Quinnen Williams. And we'll see. I think that's their window. Their window right now is those 2.5 years.
Right now, we're talking to RJ Choppy for a couple more minutes here. He covers the Cowboys with 105.3 The Fan out in Dallas. RJ, you certainly have seen some lows. You've seen some embarrassing moments covering the Cowboys. Where does Monday Night Football rank? Because they got their boots smoked by the Cardinals.
Man, I'll say that was awful. I came in on Monday, Tuesday morning. And I was like, you know what? I was actually in a good mood. I was like, I am now free. I have allowed myself to be free. It was a great weekend. My college football team, Tennessee, lost. Now the Cowboys lost. Like, this is great. I can just enjoy football the rest of the year without being stressed, without worrying about all this stuff. We also call that copium. That's a big dose of copium is what that was. That was an embarrassing game. To do that at home in front of Stephen A. Smith and Jerry's box was an embarrassing night. And I don't know that we thought, we were wondering, is this going to change Jerry's outlook on making a move? Is he now going to become, we're going to be gun-shy here, we're not going to make a move? Certainly it wasn't.
RJ, I did like that 3 or 4 hours where we thought the big move was going to be getting Logan Wilson. Now, he ended up paying on it, but he was like kind of dropping these hints that he was going to make some big trade, and then the Logan Wilson trade happened, and seeing all the NFL media dump on the Cowboys, like, wait, hold on, this can't be the big trade. I did kind of enjoy those couple of hours.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because we were wondering, who is this? Who is this player? Is this going to be some big-name guy? Is it going to be somebody who's not? How do you keep it secret? Nobody keeps things secret anymore. How are the Cowboys able to keep the secret for 12 hours? More than 12 hours, 18 hours. I have no idea. But, yeah, we thought for a moment that was going to be it. And then when the Jets traded Sauce, it was like, ooh, okay. Are they going to really blow this thing up? Because if they did, Breece Hall's name would be out there. And obviously Quinnen Williams is a name that you could throw out there too. They're really going to blow it up. And that's the confusing thing for them. If you're going to make all these trades, why aren't you trading Breece Hall? I mean, my gosh, what do you need a running back for if you're going to be a one-win team?
RJ, last thing here. What's the Cowboys fan feeling on Jerry Jones? I feel like Cowboys fans go through like a love-hate relationship with Jerry Jones. It feels like a lot of the criticism has been louder this year ever since we saw how he handled the Micah Parsons situation. Where are they at right now with him?
They're not happy. They're not happy. I mean, they're glad that he made a move. His comments to Stephen A. about relevance really kind of irked them. They're not happy. They're not happy with the Micah trade. They're not happy with the fact that George Pickens isn't locked up long term. If they're not going to sign Pickens beyond this year, why wasn't he dealt? There's a lot of questions with Jerry. The fans are just not happy.
That is our guy, RJ Choppy, joining us on the show today. He covers the Cowboys. They made moves going to get Quinnen Williams. RJ, good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, no problem, man. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That is RJ Choppy joining us on the show today. He covers the Dallas Cowboys. Rob, let's get to the college football playoffs, and we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. I don't have a lot of complaints about this first set of rankings that we have. It is kind of in line with how I think they operate. The one thing that really stands out to me is Notre Dame. I just don't know why we just treat Notre Dame differently than we treat everybody else. They already have 2 losses. They don't really have many marquee wins, but right now they're firmly in the college football playoff. Virginia, right now they'd be in it. They're the only ACC team, so obviously one team from that conference has to make it. A lot of these teams still play each other, so it's a little bit early on to be frustrated about where a team is seated, where they're not seated. I thought it was pretty interesting that they have Alabama as one of the top 4 teams in college football right now. But outside of that, nothing really stands out to me with the early rankings when it came to the college football playoff. Where are you at?
I mean, first off, maybe it should have stood out to me with Notre Dame, But me and you in the back have been talking about this, and college football fans have all kind of known this. Notre Dame's going to run the table. They're going to finish 10-2. They're going to make the playoff.
They always do this.
I mean, they're going to play a road game in the playoff this year. Like, they're going to be the 10 seed.
For
and they
sure.
have to go to Virginia or something. Like, okay, cool. Like, we know how the Notre Dame story is going to end. So, like, that should have surprised me, but it didn't because I kind of knew it was coming. The thing that surprised me.
They have one decent win this year.
And USC. It was USC.
They beat USC at home. Outside of that, I just. I don't know why. I don't know how you can play two really good teams. You lost to both of those teams. You then can play one decent game the rest of the season, and you can make the college football playoff. Like, this is where I want everybody to be treated evenly. Missouri could not have this schedule be 10-2 and make the college football playoff, where you only beat one decent team all year, and then you made the college football playoff. I just don't know why Notre Dame is allowed to operate outside of the parameters that we force every other team in college football to follow.
Yeah, like I said, it probably should have surprised me, but it didn't. The thing that surprised me, pleasant surprise, man, the Big 12 is in great position to get
100%.
Multiple teams. They have another team just outside looking in. Like, BYU and Texas Tech are in right now, and Utah is 13 in the country. They could easily end up being a team that makes it in the playoff. You're the Big 12. Last year, you got one in Arizona State. You're now in a position to get two. That's... As a Big 12 fan, that makes me happy because now I feel like the conference position to be part of this new world order the Big Ten and SEC have created. They have two teams that are three that are all right around making the playoff.
Yeah, but you would have to factor in A, these two teams play each other, BYU and Texas Tech.
But
they play each
world,
other this week.
Utah could then rise up. That's
100%,
part of it too.
But then you would have to guess that one of those teams is going to pick up another loss because they got to play each other in the Big 12 championship game. That's where having a championship game kind of hurts you because BYU or Texas Tech is assured to pick up at least one loss, or Utah is assured to pick up one loss because you got to play each other down the road. So I think it's going to be tough to possibly get that extra team in, knowing how the schedule is going to line up. Who do you like this weekend between BYU and Texas Tech? I know we got some time to really get into it, but who do you like?
I like Tech. Their quarterback's back, and it feels like BYU's been flirting with disaster all season long. They won, but they flirted with disaster.
Is it confirmed that Mahomes is going to do the college game day? He should. This is the time to do it.
It's not confirmed.
Bye week. It's in your city. You're a top 10 team.
They're wearing the special Mahomes Adidas jerseys this week.
Mahomes. I'm going to guess that he is at the game. Do college game day. Like, what are we doing? Do college game day. This is time for you to do it if you are him. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Fesco had a very interesting report about why the Chiefs didn't go pick up Breece Hall. We'll play it for you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.